This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Today, Boston's Museum of Fine Arts is home to one of the great art collections. The Boston Athenaeum is a much smaller but deeply distinguished membership library. However, in the mid-1800s, the Athenaeum was the most important art venue in Boston, and the MFA was just an idea.
The MFA was founded in 1870, but at the beginning, it did not have any collection of its own, no building of its own, and it had a very limited financial foundation.
That's so actually kind of funny to hear. Let's found a museum with no collection and no building and no money. Hina Hirayama is the curator of paintings and sculpture at the Boston Athenaeum. She tells the story of how the Athenaeum gave birth to the MFA in an exhibition and companion book titled...
With...
Éclat.
Éclat. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean?
Well, éclat is defined as brilliant success. And it's actually a quote from the trustees' records of the Athenaeum in 1875. And they were discussing how to open the new museum with éclat.
We visited Hirayama at the Athenaeum on Beacon Hill earlier this week. But this isn't just the story of two cultural institutions. It's really the story of a relationship between two Boston brothers and how an ambitious city sought to change its relationship with the rest of the world through art.
The Athenaeum's art collection and art gallery had been managed by a committee of trustees called Fine Arts Committee. And its longtime chairman was a man named Edward Newton Perkins. He had a brother, Charles Callahan Perkins. And Charles had been living in Europe. He was an art historian, but also a painter and a conductor and a composer. And he came back to Boston just before the founding of the MFA and just threw himself into the work of launching this new art museum in Boston.
So there was a Perkins at the Athenaeum and a Perkins
exactly,
at the MFA.
Exactly, right.
Ah, okay.
And Charles became really the de facto director of the early MFA.
This is such a Boston story.
It is,
there are so many great institutions that are around the city that have been founded by various members of similar families.
Right, who were connected by some way or another, family or business or marriage. Yes.
Oftentimes inspired after return from Europe
That's
as well.
Right.
I'm curious about what made Charles Perkins and his group of confidants and friends even think that Boston needed a museum of fine arts if there was already an institution like the Athenaeum.
Right. Just before the MFA was founded, the Athenaeum was redefining itself. And by the end of the 1860s, books had won the battle. So the institution had pretty much decided that we would be primarily a library. So that was the situation when all kinds of people in the city of Boston began to talk about the need for an art museum in the city.
And as you were saying, the Athenaeum was the most intimate partner to the MFA in the beginning. Describe a little bit more about what you mean by that.
The MFA did not have a building of its own for the first 6 years. So the earliest exhibitions that the MFA held were in this building at the Athenaeum. And then the Athenaeum also deposited, when the museum's first building opened in 76, we deposited or lent a large portion of our art collection to help fill the brand new galleries. And even after that, we continued to purchase objects specifically for the MFA.
Who was the older brother between Charles
older
and Edward?
Edward.
Ah, so Charles. So the younger brother was borrowing the older brother's
right,
stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, we're sitting here in a room in the Athenaeum that's got some of the objects
that were lent to the MFA
in those early days.
Yes.
Are there a couple in particular that you want to talk about?
Sure. Perhaps this one framed object here.
Sure. So it's a large frame full of. Looks like ancient coins.
That's right. About maybe 200 coins. And this was one of seven framed ancient coins that were produced and sold by the British Museum in the 1880s.
Produced and sold?
Yes.
Meaning that these are not
original Roman and Greek coins?
Right. These are actually reproductions of the original coins in the collection of the British Museum. When the British Museum put out 7 of these for sale, the MFA's Charles Perkins thought they would be just perfect for the MFA, because the early MFA very consciously collected and exhibited reproductions of art.
Why was that? Because I can't imagine that being a right. major part of an artistic institution's mission today.
Right, and I must say I was struck during my research by how different a place the MFA was in its early days from what it is today. And it very much wanted to collect and exhibit reproductions because they, for one thing, they believed they couldn't afford originals, but also they believed that reproductions would help teach the public about art, design, history of art. So that was a very sort of a different aim that the early MFA had.
You know, I'm actually seeing in the photograph here mm-hmm. of Charles Perkins, mm-hmm. and in the description of it, I presume you wrote these, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so yep. It says that that Perkins was an ardent proponent of public art education.
Yes, he was.
So we see his impact on the MFA's
yes,
early mission.
Mission, very much so. And in fact, when the British Museum put out 7 of these framed coins for sale, Charles Perkins thought they would be perfect for the museum. But the museum had only enough money to afford 2 of them. So he turned to his brother at the Athenaeum, Edward, and said, how about if the Athenaeum paid for the remaining 5? And Edward said, sure.
So is there another object that we should
take
sure. a look at?
Sure. How about if we move to the smaller gallery?
This is a
chalice,
what,
veil? Yeah.
It's a veil, okay.
Yeah,
it's 18th century Italian.
This is a chalice veil, beautiful silk fabric of lavender hue, embroidered with gold thread and edged with gold lace. This was probably used in a church in Italy in the 18th century. It's a beautiful piece. But this was one of more than 80 Italian pieces that the Athenaeum purchased for the MFA just days before the opening of the MFA's first building. And that was really because the MFA, again, in its early days, very actively collected well-crafted things in textiles, ceramics, metal, wood. And that was because the early MFA had another very specific goal of showing examples of products of manufacturing industry to help the manufacturing industry of Massachusetts.
That's so interesting, actually.
And the early seal of the MFA, or the original seal of the MFA, it has 3 interlocking rings, each identified as art, education, and industry.
In some respects, the story of the Athenaeum and its assistance to the MFA is a unique one. As we were saying earlier, it's a very Boston story,
yes.
right? But I'm wondering if any lessons can be drawn from, you know, the 1870s when all this was happening to how institutions work together today.
Well, the two institutions worked with such high level of intimacy, intensity, and informality. And what struck me the most was how art in Boston in the late 19th century was still something to be introduced, to be learned, to be discovered.
It does sound like a key difference, because now where art is more easily accessible,
mm-hmm.
maybe an institution's mission is, you know, what can we get this institution ourselves? Whereas it sounds like what you're saying is in 1870 mm-hmm. Or thereabouts, the mission was still, what can we bring to Boston?
Right, exactly. And what can we show to the people of Boston? And it was really sort of the beginning of the art world in Boston.
And as you said, we are absolutely enjoying the fruits of their labor to this
day.
Some of
them, right, to this day, definitely. Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this story of the Athenaeum and the MFA with us, and for showing us around here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Hina Hirayama is the curator of paintings and sculpture at the Boston Athenaeum. She's author of With Éclat, The Boston Athenaeum and the Origin of the Museum of Fine Arts. Some objects featured in the book are currently on display at the Athenaeum. There's more information at radioboston.org.
And stay with us. Still to come, a conversation with Red Sox manager John Farrell about rebuilding a team and leading it from worst to first. Now all he has to do is keep it there. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.